what we're going to talk about this morning, I'll just get right into it. As you see the title on the screen, I want to talk today about planting good seeds. Planting good seeds. And you know, all of life, much of our life is spent in the planting stage. We realized that this morning, that much of our life is spent in the planting stage. And what do I mean by that? I mean that every day, not every day, but every moment of every day is an opportunity to plant a seed of life. And as each seed is planted, we don't see what is going to take place for sometimes weeks, sometimes months, sometimes many, many years to come. But we'll talk about this morning, the fact that each moment we have opportunities to plant seeds. We plant seeds in our own hearts. We plant seeds in the hearts of our children. We plant seeds in the hearts of people around us that we influence. And I hope you'd say with me that my desire is to plant good seeds. Plant good seeds. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6, and would you stand with me as we read the Word of God this morning? Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, and let's read these verses together out loud. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through verse 9. And begin together with me. Ready? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help it to help me to explain it clearly and expound it and apply it, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts this morning. Challenge us and encourage us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Sowing good seeds. There's a time to sow and a time to reap. And as I said already, every moment of life is an opportunity to plant a seed. Have you ever said something or done something that you wish you could take back? No? Yeah, absolutely. But you can't, can you? Now, if this planter here decides that he put the wrong seeds in, he actually has the ability to go back, dig up that soil, and do what? He can hunt for those seeds and find them, but he probably won't find them all, right? He's probably not going to find all of them. And some of those seeds that were planted, they're going to sprout. It's the same in our lives. We are, each word we say, every action and emotion that we emit, all of those things are going to plant seeds. They plant seeds, as I said, in our own lives, and they plant seeds in the lives of those around us. You probably are like me if you're a parent, but my wife and I, we talk about it, we think about it quite often, about the seeds that we plant in the lives of our children. Do parents think about that or have thought about that? You think about the seeds that we plant. And the application is really, I'm not going to say it a lot, I'm going to say it this one time, and hopefully you'll be with me. The application is not just obviously to parents, but we all have responsibility to those around us, and we'll all be sowing seeds in other people's lives. And what an incredible responsibility that is, isn't it? It's an awesome responsibility, that the seeds, they're going in. And I understand, as you probably know as well, I understand that I'm not going to get it all right, okay? I'm not gonna only plant good seeds, though that's my heart's desire. I hope it is yours too. But I understand that I'm not perfect. I understand that I'm not gonna get it all right. But I also know that the book of Proverbs, chapter number 22 and verse number 6, says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I also know Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 4, calls us in regard to our children, Ephesians 6, 4, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Training, bringing up. And all of that involves the planting of seeds, right? All of that involves planting seeds in their hearts and in their minds. And I think about what an awesome responsibility that is, because we realize planting seeds isn't just, although this is important, planting seeds is not just, okay, little guy, little girl, I want you to learn John 3:16, let's say it together, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think that's the first verse I ever learned. I can remember probably about 4 years old, and do you know who taught me that verse? No? My mom. I can remember that. That memory is clear in my mind. I remember sitting in my room, and I remember working on John 3:16 with my mom. I don't remember most of the verses that I learned as a child, I did not learn from my mother. But that one, I did. And I remember that's a seed that was planted there. And as a little child, I can remember my mother, and I can almost, you know how memories are hazy? You know what I'm talking about? How you can the forms are there, the emotions are there, but the facial expressions aren't really, it's not all there. But I remember my mom sitting with me on my bed, and we worked on John 3:16. That's a good seed, amen? That's a good seed. But planting seeds in the hearts and minds of our children, and by the way, we do that today with boys and girls whose moms and dads aren't planting any spiritual seeds in their hearts. Our Sunday school teachers this morning were planting seeds in the hearts of children whose moms and dads often aren't putting any spiritual seeds in their hearts. It's important what we do. And we don't always know, and you've seen over the years our bus ministry in our church, and many boys and girls come in, and it's the very small minority who even stay through their teen years, but we have some, praise the Lord. But regardless, we know that good seeds were planted in their hearts. But back to where I was headed with this, as I think about that, and I think about, you know, the seeds of a Bible verse or a song, those are good seeds to sow. But the planting seeds in the hearts and minds of our children is more than that, because you realize through our actions, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but through all that we do, the seeds, anybody who's had a parent, who's been a parent has thought about this, the seeds that I plant, the seeds that my wife's plant, they're going to affect my children's emotions. They're going to affect their psychology. It's going to affect their education. And it's going to affect their ability to relate to other people. What an awesome responsibility, the bringing up, the training, the nurturing. But most importantly, those seeds will impact, absolutely, their understanding of who God is. Do you realize that? That's probably the most awesome responsibility that we have. If you remember the song that we sang this morning, Far Above Riches, one of the lines in that song, speaking of a mother, says, "In her we learn our father's care." Mothers and fathers, as authority figures in the lives of children, and really any authority, but you could be a teacher, we are pictures of God's place in their life. Now, we don't take the place of God, but the way that a child begins to relate to the adults in their life begins to teach them things about how they relate to God. What an awesome responsibility. And our goal is to plant seeds that will bring about a spiritual harvest in their life, and that will result in the spiritual well-being of children, that they might surrender their lives to Him. Well, if you haven't written anything down in your introduction and you'd like to, let me give you something real simple here that you can jot down. In this passage, first thing that I want to point out, and it's not the main point, it's just an introductory point to get us thinking, is we find in chapter number 6, look back at verse number 7. Look at verse number 7. It says, "Be not deceived." God is not what? Mocked. He won't be mocked. "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You may have heard this before, but to introduce this idea, I want to talk quickly here about, or I want to show you that God is setting out to us a law of sowing and reaping. If you want to jot that down, there is a law of sowing and reaping. God said in this verse, he said, he will not be mocked. This is the way it works. What you sow, what you plant, is what you're going to, yeah, you plant it, you're going to pick it. You're going to harvest it. It's going to come. So as this isn't original to me, but as principles that we that are important as we think about the law of sowing and reaping, we call it a law. It's not a law, for those of you that might be thinking of the law book or the speeding laws or the criminal justice system. It's a law of nature. What are some other, maybe some of you high schoolers can help me out if you know this, what are some other laws of nature? Gravity, right? What goes up is going to come down. I just gave you the easiest one. I'll open it up to anybody. What are other laws of nature? Anybody know any? Law of nature? An object in motion. That's the first, isn't that the first law of thermodynamics? It's a law that an object, it's called inertia, an object in motion will what? Stay in motion until it's acted upon by an outside force. That's right. So it'll keep going until that other law we just talked about called gravity pulls it down. So these are laws of nature. This is just the way God created life to be. And there are many laws that we can talk about. Well, here the Bible gives us, though the Bible's not a science book, it's always accurate when it speaks scientifically, the law of sowing and reaping. First aspect of the law of sowing and reaping, I'm going to give these to you quick. You always reap what you sow. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That was deep, right? Could you say that with me? The first law of it is what? You always reap what you sow. So if you plant, if you open that apple up and you cut it and you pull out the seeds and you put them in the ground, you are going to grow an apple tree. You got it. You got this scientific law down, all right? You always reap what you sow. Secondly, now, you always reap after you sow. Oh, okay. I'm teaching you something about agriculture this morning. You always reap what you sow, and you always reap what? After you sow. Boy, there's spiritual application there. You're going to plant it now, it's going to come up later. Do you remember when Jesus talked about the parable where they sowed a whole wheat field? And then somebody came along and did what? They sowed weeds in the field. And nobody knew what happened until the end. And then the wheat grew up and so did the weeds. Well, none of us would plant a garden. And Brother Russ, has get that rototiller out yet? Coming close, okay? You know, what would you think of somebody that went out and planted weeds in their garden? I mean, I spent a lot of time pulling the weeds. Can you imagine somebody planting weeds? But it will all, you'll always reap after you sow. And then finally here, you always reap more than you sow. You always reap more than you sow. You always reap what you sow. Why don't you say it with me? You always reap, first off, what? What you sow. You always reap after you sow, and you always reap more than you sow. That's a law. You plant it, it's coming up. It's coming up later, and it's going to come up more than what was there. That can be encouraging, okay? And that can be frightening at the same time. And in fact, that's exactly what this passage is about to do. This passage is going to teach us, first of all, to be careful what kind of seeds we are planting, because we all want to plant what? Good seeds. Be careful what seeds you plant, and then also it's going to encourage us as we face this task of planting. So there'll be two parts to the message here. Be careful what seeds you plant, and then be encouraged while you plant. And I hope you can see that in your notes this morning. So first of all, let's look at the next verse. Here we are in verse number 8. For he that soweth to his what? Thanks for helping. That's great. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the what? To the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh, and you're going to reap corruption. You sow to the, I'm having a hard time getting this showing now, okay? You sow to the Spirit, and you're going to reap of the Spirit, and it's going to be life, and it's going to be everlasting life. So, we have a question here that we come with, that we come to. As we're thinking off, let's be careful, whether it's in my own life, or if it's in the life of my kids, or the people around me, I've got to be careful what seeds that I'm going to plant. Now, you may want to jot this down. Seeds are planted in life. Seeds are planted how? They're planted by our words, right? We plant seeds with our words. We plant seeds with our actions. And we're going to plant seeds with our attitudes. That's the one we don't always think about the most, by the way, the attitudes. But we'll see why that's so important later. We're going to plant seeds by our words, by our actions, and by our attitudes. So first he gives us a question to ask ourselves here. The question to ask ourselves in this in verse number 8, he that soweth through his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The question I've got to ask myself is, are the seeds that I'm putting in the ground, are these seeds of the flesh? Or are they seeds of the what? Of the Spirit. The Bible talks a lot about the flesh and the Spirit, doesn't it? In fact, in the book of Galatians, you can go back to chapter 5, and it talks extensively about the flesh and the Spirit. Well, let's think about it just for a minute this morning, if you'd stay with me. We think about the Spirit, and we can overcomplicate this sometimes, but in life, the seeds that we plant, the things we do, the way we think, the way that we behave, and the words that we say, it all comes from our thoughts. And as I think in my life, am I behaving in the Spirit or am I behaving in the flesh? And I think about fruit growing and seeds being planted. I've just got a simple thing for us to remember this morning, and you could talk about it more extensively, but here it is. Those things that are of the Spirit have their source in whom? In God. Those things that are of the Spirit have their source, have their source in God. But those things that are of the flesh have their source in whom? Flesh. Who owns my flesh? I've got it. It's the slave to sin. The flesh are those things that come from me. We talk about the flesh, and sometimes it's a word that we can think, oh, behaving in a fleshly way, and you can really get it dark and evil and really, really bad, but sometimes we need to understand the flesh is just the things that I want, the things that make me happy, the things that I think, my ideas, my purposes, my plans. Those things of the flesh have their source in me. I know the Bible says this is how I ought to plant the seed of this is how I ought to discipline my children, but this is what I think. Or the Bible says, this is how I ought to train my children to be in the house of God. But this is what I think. Right? Or the Bible says this, or God's word says this, but I think this, or I have this idea, or this is what makes me feel good. Those are things that are sourced in the flesh. And the Spirit, though, is going to bring us life. But the flesh, the Bible says, brings corruption, or brings death. The writer of Proverbs says, regarding the mouth, the things that we speak, he says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's a powerful. So if we speak words that come from the Holy Spirit, then we have the power to give life. If we speak words that are empowered by our flesh, those words can speak death. And death, I think we know this, but death is not just, we're not just speaking here in corruption. We're not just speaking in terms of a body, of a human dying in the physical sense. But you think about a good piece of fruit or a good garden. And you know what happens if you plant seeds. If you plant seeds and the weather's not right and it gets a lot of moisture in there, what can happen to that seed before it even has a chance to grow? It'll just what? Just going to rot. It's the idea of corruption. Well, we can plant corruption, we can speak, we can act, we can bring corruption into our own lives, into our own families. Look at the reference on your handout, 2 Corinthians 3:6. I found this to be a really interesting passage in this topic. 2 Corinthians 3:6, the Bible says, Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. The New Testament is the work that Jesus has accomplished by his death and through his blood shed. This New Testament, this new covenant of grace that we're in. So it says, we are able ministers of the new covenant. And that's the testament of God's grace. Not of the what? The letter, but of the what? Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth what? Giveth life. Do you realize that you can't come up with a list of rules that will bring life to any person, to any family, to any home? You can't say, well, we've got it down. We're going to do this, 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 and this, and that's going to make us a lively Christian home, or that's going to make my life a lively Christian life. You can't do it, because it says here that the letter, speaking of the law, what does it do? It kills. Does that mean that law and rules are bad? No. It means that law and rules on their own only show us how bad we are and kills us. But the Spirit, through grace, can bring life. And that's what he says. That's why any Christian's life has to begin in the heart. It has to begin with a work of grace in a person's heart that transforms us and gives us an ability to do right and to follow the Lord. But my ideas and my systems and my plans, they only bring death. It's the Spirit of God that gives life. That's what it says. It says here, you sow of the Spirit, you'll reap life of the Spirit. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap death, corruption from the flesh. So that's the question. Are the seeds I'm planting, are they seeds of Spirit or are they seeds of flesh? Secondly, we learn a principle from here. Some principles. The principle for planting. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I want to give you something to think about here, and I'll do this point more quickly. Where do seeds, now this is another deep agricultural question, where do seeds come from? Home Depot on the big rack in the packages. Walmart, sorry, yeah, okay. They come from the fruit of the plant, which came from a fruit. And then you got to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and there was just fruit because God made it there. But you realize every seed comes from a fruit. That's where it comes from. You're like, yep, got it. Good. All right? Likewise, a spiritual seed can only come from a spiritual person. A spiritual seed can only come from a spiritual person. Therefore, the seeds that we plant in the lives of our children or those around us, the seeds that we plant in the lives of our children will come from the fruit of our own lives. I think it was last week, my dad was having trouble getting that saying out that we all know. Do as I say and not as I what? Do. I got it right there. Do as I say, not as I do. Okay? That doesn't work. Because a seed that we plant has to come from the fruit of our own lives. Both good and bad. Both good and bad. That's a principle for planting. So therefore, it brings us, as we think about being careful what seeds we plant. And there's a lot of folks that will get really focused on saying, well, you know what? I'm going to make sure my kids do this, and I'm going to make sure they learn this. And I'm going to make sure those kids in whether it's a teacher, you know, I'm going to make sure those kids in my class, they learn this, they learn this, and they learn this. Or I'm going to make sure those young people in those church behave this way and they do this. And I'm going to make sure this and I'm going to make sure that. Hey, why don't we make sure we've got good fruit in our lives first? And then we'll plant those seeds in the lives of others. Amen? So number three here, as we're being careful what seeds we plant, what have we got to do? We got to examine our own fruit. We've got to examine our own fruit. And so turn back in your Bible to the passage that's the fruit examining passage. It's probably one page back in your Bible. It is in mine. Might be across the page, but it's chapter 5 of the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Verse number 19. We want to know, hey, I want to plant good seeds. I want to see those seeds planted deep, and I want to see them grow. Well, let's examine our own fruit. Verse number 19. Now the works of the what? Flesh are these. Now skip down to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. So here we've got a little fruit examining time. We've got the works of the flesh, and then we've got the fruit of the Spirit. It'd be just like if you go out. You talk about, you remember Jesus talked about the vineyard. There's so much agriculture all in the Scriptures. Or I have apple trees at my house that I just pruned them all this winter. They had been pruned, which I was thankful for. I just love growing stuff. I enjoy it. So I had these apple trees, older apple trees. Fortunately, they had been pruned, but not in a year or two. So I had to cut a whole bunch of stuff off. But you know, I don't know if you pruned fruit, but you have to do, if you really want to do it right, there's winter pruning, there's spring pruning, there's summer pruning, I think there's fall pruning. I mean, and there's different things that you have to do. But I do know this. I do know this. You don't leave corrupt branches. You don't leave fruitless branches. You don't leave rotting stuff on the tree. You take care of it. You get it out. So it's time to do a little fruit examination. So he says here, first of all, 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. I don't have any formal points to this. I just want you to read through with me and think about our lives. What is a fleshly life? A life that says, my way, my idea, and it's on display all around us, as a matter of fact. The works of the flesh are manifest. What does manifest mean? Yeah, it's clear. It's obvious. Here it is to see. And by the way, the fruits of the Spirit are the same. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. It's not like, oh boy, I wonder. I wonder, am I being a spiritual person or am I a fleshly person? Let's just look at what it says. It's clear, the Holy Spirit says. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That whole list goes together. The whole first section, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Okay? That is sex out of control. Do we see that anywhere today? Let me think about that. I don't know if I've seen that anywhere. No, the works of the flesh are manifest. It's sexuality out of control. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. It's the new normal. I was chatting with somebody recently, and they were telling me about a family situation. And you know people that deal with this, that spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, spouse, leaves the kids, then has this relationship over here. They pick up a few more kids in this relationship. You know what I'm talking about here? And then they're over here on the weekend, and they're over there during this time, and then this one changes boyfriend or girlfriend again, and then this. Hey, if you're a teenager in here today, and you look around at the world, that's become the new normal for people. I mean, if you go to public school, especially most of your friends, or maybe even a situation you find yourself in, and what surprised me about this conversation I was having with someone is it sounded so matter of fact. Commonplace. And it's what we live in. And so we can look at it this way. We could say, oh, man, it's so bad. People are just, what's wrong with people? Yeah, that's true. That's true. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that living, listen now. Hurry, come on. Okay? It says that living is going to bring what? Yeah, death. corruption. So you guys, you young guys, you'll have a choice. You can like look at the majority of the world around you and just kind of do what they're doing. But what a tragedy that would be, because you'd be writing your own spiritual, emotional, and relationship death sentence. And the world all around us is under that sentence of death. And some of you have probably experienced that in your lives. And I don't say that with condemnation. I say that to say you understand what I'm talking about. You've experienced either through someone else's behavior or maybe even of your own past mistakes, you've experienced not a physical death, but you've seen relationships and families die. Why, though? It's because seeds were planted. Seeds were planted. So in a world where sex is out of control, don't plant those seeds in your hearts. Okay? Listen now. Don't plant those seeds in your hearts. Don't look at those things. Don't listen to those things. Don't think that way. Don't let the seeds be planted in your heart, because they'll bring about death. The works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Verse number 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Boy, verse number 20 is just all over the place. Idolatry. That's false worship, folks. That's people running after this strange god or belief system, and people running after this. Where have I seen that? Oh, all around. I've met people that say, well, you know, I kind of like some of the stuff in Buddhism, and I kind of like some of the stuff that the Hindus believe, and I kind of like some of this, and I kind of just like kind of put it all together and believe this is what I think. Well, do you know what they just done? They just sat down in their workshop, and they took a piece of stone, and they chiseled out an idol and said, that's my God. It happens all, it's all around us. People saying, well, I think this about God, or I think that about God. None of that matters, because that's not who God is. This is who God is. This is who He is. But there's idolatry and false belief systems. And then the anger. Boy, it's gotten pretty angry out there lately, hasn't it? There's a lot of anger. But it starts with seeds, little seeds that are planted in our homes. Do they become angry places? Do they become places of strife and disagreement? Seek the Lord for that. Seditions, heresies. Verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. That's the party life. And of such like, and such like. So things like this are fleshly things. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What's he saying? He's saying, Christian, this is how people behave who are on their way to hell. This is how lost people, people who are not inheriting the kingdom, this is how they behave. This lifestyle is characteristic of the world. So you don't behave like the children of the devil. You behave like the children of the Spirit. And then he comes to verse number 22, and it all turns around here. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Seeds. Now think about seeds. Think about planting good seeds. Plant a seed of love. Plant a seed of joy. Plant a seed of peace. Plant a seed of long-suffering. Plant a seed of gentleness. Plant a seed of goodness, of faith, of meekness, of temperance. We have opportunities every day to plant those seeds. But are we planting them? You know, every husband in here can plant a seed of love in the heart of his children by saying, hey, you know something? I love your mom. She's the greatest. She's the best. You can plant a seed of joy, Mom, by making your house a happy place. And when you come home, some moms are working, some are home, and the husband's coming home from work, or you may all get home tired and stressed, and there's so much going on, but you can still make your home a joyful place. And you can plant seeds of the joy of the Lord. Long suffering, gentleness. Are we willing to put up with each other and be patient with each other? Goodness and faith and meekness. Plant these seeds. A spiritual seed is only going to come from a spiritual person, so you'd better plant those seeds in your life. I better plant those seeds in my life so that the fruit will bloom and the fruit will grow and I'll have seeds to plant in the lives of others. So be careful what seeds you plant. Be careful what seeds you plant, because God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man or a woman soweth, that shall he also reap. You reap to the flesh, you reap corruption. Sow to the Spirit. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. Sow to the Spirit, you reap life. But then let's finish with the last verse that we looked at, verse number 9. And I'll quickly go through this last section for you. What he's going to show us now is, yes, we need to be careful about the seeds that we're planting, but let's be encouraged while we plant. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have ever claimed verse 9 as your theme verse for a little while? You know what I'm saying? I mean, Galatians 6:9, I can't tell you how many times that I go back to verse number 9 of Galatians chapter 6. Read it with me out loud. Ready? Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in... Stop right there. Let us not be weary in what? Now that assumes that we're going to be doing, that we're doing, and in this context, we're planting seeds, we're planting seeds, we're planting seeds. The weather's not always favorable. Sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's raining, sometimes it's snowing. But we are planting seeds. And he says, don't get weary. Why? Because in due season, you'll what? If you don't give up. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit challenges us and says, hey, look at that fruit. Knock it off. Fix it up. Take care of that. Straighten that up. But then he says, hey, don't wear out. Don't give up. There's a harvest coming. You see, be encouraged while you plant. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. First off here, lean on the Lord when you get what? Tired. Anybody ever got tired before? Any mom in here? I think moms, I mean, once you become a mom, you are tired for the rest of your life. Okay? Can I get a witness there? I mean, is that the way it is? It's like, oh, okay, I got a hand raised at me back there. That's just one of the, moms get tired. My wife, I don't know how she does it sometimes. I'm not, you know, that's the obligatory thing to say, I don't know how she does it, right? But seriously, it's like most homes, that maybe I've been around too many slacker husbands, and maybe I am one, but I don't know. But usually, I see moms carrying a lot more of the load than the dads a lot of the times. And I don't think that's just, and that's not to say, good, keep carrying that load. No, we need to come and help and lift the load too. But there's just something about that responsibility my mom was like this, Deborah's like this, and I know other moms that I've seen, are like, they just don't, it's like, when are you going to sit down and just stop for a minute, okay? Just stop for a moment. But it's easy to get tired. But you got to remember, and all of us, we get tired. We've been doing sometimes the same thing year in, year out, over and over and over, and we don't necessarily see it yet. It's not there yet. But what are we doing? We're planting seeds, putting seeds in the ground. And lean on the Lord when you get tired. We all get tired, but remember, we're talking about the Spirit. What does the Spirit do? He gives strength. The Spirit gives strength. Do you know what? Somebody taught me this, and I don't remember where I got it, but this was challenging to me. When we get tired, in the work of the Lord. When we get weary and we get worn out, you know what that means? It means we're doing something wrong. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Well, it means that when I'm worn out, when I'm grumpy, and I'm like, oh, I just can't do all this stuff anymore, I just can't handle this anymore, it's because it's me that's doing it. And I'm not relying on the Lord's grace and the Lord's strength to make it happen. So think about that. And that can be convicting, but it can also reset us. And we can say, wait a minute. Why am I so stressed out when Jesus said, be careful for nothing? Why am I all anxious? Why am I all worried when Jesus said, just to come unto him and I'll give you what? I'll give you rest. Why? And then I can say, wait a minute. I need to reset here. I need to restart. I need to examine areas. Why am I getting tired? Is it that I'm relying on me and I'm not trusting in the Holy Spirit? Because it's the Spirit that gives strength, and my weakness can actually reveal his power. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10 is in your notes there. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Go ahead, read the last part with me. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Lean on the Lord when you get tired. Next here, wait for him when you grow impatient. Have you ever been impatient? Wait for him when you... What does he say? He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in what? Due season. Due season. That means out of my hands. Out of my control. Not when I want, not how I want, but only in his time. It doesn't matter what you do to the seed in the ground. It doesn't matter. I mean, you can do some things to help and maybe speed it up a little bit, but that seed is going to germinate in the time that it takes that seed to germinate. It's going to bloom. It's going to send off shoots according to the way it works. And it's going to bear fruit when it's time. And the farmer or the gardener can do things, can make favorable conditions, but it's still God is the one who causes the plant to grow. He's the one that brings it to pass. So I think about that because I get impatient. And we want to see results from our efforts sometimes immediately. But you know, one thing we have to learn here is to embrace each stage of life as a gift from God. We have to embrace each stage of life as a gift from God. When I was in high school, I couldn't wait to be done with high school. Right? When I was in college, I couldn't wait to be done with college. Okay? And then I got engaged, and I couldn't wait to be married. And you know, life can be that way. There's always, you know, especially when we're young or at different stages in life, we want to be at the next stage. And some of you that have lived longer than I, you've gotten to a point where you say, you know what? Please enjoy where you're at. Don't be in such a hurry. Don't be so impatient. But instead of just getting through these stages of life, but there are lots of stages, you know, not just time stages, but we go through financial stages in our life, don't we? Sometimes we go through emotional stages in our life. All moms, as we're on Mother's Day here, mom, you go through different stages of life raising children. They're real little and require constant attention. They get a little bigger and they require constant supervision. And they get a little older and they require constant worry, all right? So, and they're just stages. And so there's stages like that. There's stages where we go through financial times, with the lean times. But look, we've got to learn to just not just accept, but to embrace the seasons of life. And to say, you know what, I am going to live life in a spiritual sense to the fullest in this moment that God's given me. Because after all we have is the moment that we're given. Right? That's all we have. We don't know. And that's the difference between a physical seed and a spiritual seed. We know what a physical seed is supposed to look like. Right? I planted tomatoes. And now that is a tomato plant. Got it. But we don't know what our harvest is going to look like spiritually, do we? We don't know what it's going to look like. And so whatever stage you're in, you live it to the fullest for God's glory because you don't know if he's going to give you the next stage. This may be the stage where the harvest is reaped. So embrace each stage of life as a gift from God. And then I thought about this, that's the patience that he's given us, extend his patience to others in due season. And boy, there are so many applications there, but as you see people around you, be patient with them like God's patient with you. Let God do his work. Let God grow the seed. So we lean on the Lord when we get tired. That's the encouragement we're given first. Then we wait for him when we get impatient. And then the third aspect here, claim his promise when you feel like quitting. Be honest. Don't raise your hand, but be honest in your heart. Are there ever times, whether it be in a ministry or in a relationship, hopefully not in child raising, but in certain areas in your life where you just feel like quitting? Like, I just can't do this anymore. I can't do it. I'm not cut out for this. This isn't working how I thought. Well, remember what he says, in due season we shall reap. So first of all, we've got to be doing well. We've got to be planting good seeds. And then we've got to not get tired, not get weary, because remember, there's a harvest that's coming if we don't faint, if we don't quit. Have you ever seen anybody faint? Kind of like a creepy thing to me. I'm like, don't do that, okay? It's like they can't help it, of course. But some people faint. It's just, I give up. I quit. He says, we will reap if we don't give up. So whatever season you're in, wait for the due season. Don't quit. So what does that mean? How do we do that? I got a couple quick things then to think about. That means if you're going to not faint, not give up, you've got to believe that you're going to reap. Amen? So that means you have to trust what you know and not what you feel. We've got to trust what we know and not what we feel. I believe that right there is the number one obstacle. Could be wrong, but I think it's the number one obstacle faced by at least American Christians today. Is that people start to make decisions not based on what they know that God has said, but on what they feel the circumstances doing to them. He says, in due season you shall reap. You shall reap if you faint not. You've got to trust what you know from God's word, not what you feel. And then you've got to believe what he said and not what you see. We walk by faith and not by sight. We've got to, if we're going to claim this promise that we will reap if we faint not, we've got to believe what God said, not what we think we can see. Have you ever come through a season in your life where you thought, what in the world is going on? What is happening here? I don't understand this at all. But you didn't give up. You trusted that God had a plan. And you came through it and you look back and you say, maybe I still don't understand it all, but boy, I'm glad I still walked with God in that time. And anyone in here probably over 30 years old could tell you about times like that in their life. Believe what he said, not what you see. But that's why you've got to know what God's word said. it's great to come in, and it's great for us to, and I'm all for it, for emotion. I like emotion. I enjoy it. It's great for us to come to church, and some people sing loud, and other people raise a hand, and some people say amen, and we have this experience where our emotions can be brought into worshiping the Almighty God, and that's biblical, and it's wonderful, and it's good. But that feeling isn't going to get you through a difficult time or a difficult season. It's the knowledge of who God is and what He said that will bring us through that. That's why we are Bible-believing Christians. And this is a Bible-preaching church. Because it's the Word that gives life through the quickening of the Spirit. Believe what He said, not what you see. And then listen, and these are all kind of the same. Listen to His Word, not other people's opinions. Not the opinions of others. We talked about this, those that were in Bible study on Wednesday night. Isn't it amazing how many experts there are out there? We talked about it on Wednesday. People want to tell you how to eat. People want to tell you how to exercise. You remember? How many remember when you had to do sit-ups? Okay? Did you know that sit-ups are really bad for you now? Yeah, don't do them. You got to stop. You should be planking. Okay? That was for free. But everybody's an expert. Here's what you should eat. These are the supplements you should take. Here's how you should raise your kids. Here's how you should do that. Here's this. Here's that. Just go on Facebook and you can learn everything you need to know about life. Very simple. But there's only one opinion that matters. And you know what? The opinion that should matter to you is God's opinion and what the Word of God says. And you can wear yourself out and feel like quitting if you've always got to say, well, I hope my mom thinks that I'm raising my kids right. Okay? Doesn't matter. Sorry, grandmas. But, okay? I hope that the pastor thinks that I've done this right. Nope, that's not what matters. Okay? Well, I hope my friends think that what I'm doing is okay. Nope, that's not what matters. Now, is that to say that godly influences don't have a part? Of course not. You know my point. I'm exaggerating it slightly. But my point is this. Just get over yourself and get over other people. And just live your life how God said to. And follow Him. And you know what? You'll get a lot less tired. You'll get a lot less weary. Because in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. We want to plant good seeds. Amen? You want to plant good seeds? You know I'm wrapping up now, so you say amen louder, and that just speeds me up. You want to plant good seeds, huh? Oh, yeah. We want to plant good seeds. That was a shout now. Easy does it. Okay? We want to plant good seeds, and it can be hard sometimes. We learn that. And they're not all going to be good. We're going to mess up sometimes. We're going to have to pull weeds out later because we planted a bad seed early. And that's okay. Because you know what? It's the grace, it's the seed of the grace of God that makes any of this possible. You see, Jesus said that a seed won't grow, this is in the book of John, a seed won't grow unless at first what? Somebody said it. Dies. And this is my favorite part of the message, so don't tune me out, please. And it's just like 1 minute long, all right? It's this, because it's all about Jesus, right? It's always all about Jesus. We have the fruit of His grace in our lives because He is the seed that died in the ground and sprang to new life to give us His grace. I mean, that's what brings this all together, is that Jesus died so we can live. And He bears fruit in our lives. He's the one that's going to bear that fruit in our lives. Yes, we'll mess up. Yes, like I said, you'll pull weeds from bad seeds that were planted. But just get back to the cross. Get back to the seed of grace that's planted in our hearts. Rest in that and let Christ have His perfect work in us. And we'll plant good seeds. And we'll reap a good harvest for His glory and for His kingdom. Would you bow your heads with me? So the good news is this. Jesus came to give grace to all people. He came to forgive sinners. He came to forgive moms and dads that totally blew it. He came to forgive moms and dads that try to do it pretty good, and it doesn't matter. We're all equal at the cross because Jesus died for us. He's the one that makes this life possible. So if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, that's where it all begins. He wants to plant a seed of faith in your heart where you'll trust Him and you'll say, God, I am an undeserving sinner, but I believe You died and rose again for me. If you'll believe that, if you'll call on His name, if you'll trust Him today, that's the seed of faith born in your heart. And you'll be saved. You'll become a child of God, and He'll start to do amazing things in your life. So right now, while I'm talking, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, do it right now. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe You died for me and rose again for me. I trust You. Forgive me. Make me Your child. Pray something like that to Him.